that all are lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I could see no way. To every promise he ever made me, I love him, that's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about my Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's only Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the of all the things he has done. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I could see no way.
Schedule this morning. I don't know what happened. We'll blame it on somebody. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We will. We're going to be in verses 3 through 11. The God of all comfort. Amen. That's the God she just got through singing about. Amen. Amen. Tell him you love him this morning. I love you, Lord. I love you. Amen. Amen. Don't worry about being charismatic. You can't say that. You're just a Christian, right? Amen. All right, the God of all comfort, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, tonight, we're going to be back in Matthew, looking at the second parable, first parable in the Matthew, the kingdom parables. But today, we want to look at the God of all comfort. Let's start by reading verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Father, I pray today that as we open your Bible, you open our hearts. Teach us today about what this passage is all about. It's all about understanding that you are the God of comfort. and how that you comfort us, you do a work in us so that you can then do a work through us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's look at this text today. One of the key words in this text that I'm going to preach on this morning is the word comfort or encouragement. In spite of Paul's trials, Paul experienced the comfort of God. He was able, by the grace of God, to write this letter of encouragement. And it is a letter of encouragement. Sometimes the text may deal with rebuke, instruction, encouragement, teaching, training in righteousness. This text is a text of encouragement today. When you find yourself discouraged and ready to give up, get your focus on God. Amen? That's what happens to us, folks. We focus on ourselves. You know why I tell you all the time, get out of yourself, right? Put your focus on God and begin to praise Him. And begin to minister to other people. Right? That's the best time to minister to someone when you're going through a hard time, right? Because God has sent you through something that you can help somebody else with, right? Get up, get your focus on God, and share with others how God comforted you with the people who you experienced the same thing we have. Like I told you this morning, I never lost a wife. I've never lost a child. But there's people here that have. And you can comfort other people. I've been through a lot of things in my 70 years. I want to go ahead and confess to you this morning. Something's wrong with my brain because this past week I ate fried okra and I ate a bowl of fried oysters. So I'm not right today, okay, when it comes to that. But how can we find encouragement in God? I want to share three simple reminders in our text. And as y'all know, I'm an expository preacher. I have nothing to say outside of what God says through His Word. Look at verse 3. First thing we got to remember is remember who God is. Look at that in verse 3 again. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and God of all comfort. You see, Paul understood that God was in control of his circumstances. There's nothing that happens to us outside the purpose of God. There's nothing that he allows to come into the life of his children except he's wanting to do a work, right? Is important in achieving victory. If you're going to have victory in the midst of your trial, you got to understand God loves you, and He loves you enough to make you more like Christ. That's why we're saved. He wants to make us into the image of His Son, right? Now, verse 3 contains four reasons why we're to praise God. That's my first point. Why we're to praise God for His person and His work. Notice verse 3a. Praise Him because He is God. Just because He's God. Right? That's what Margene did this morning. Just because He's God, right? And we're not God. We don't know the big picture. He does, right? In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul praised God for what He did in the past when He chose us in Christ and blessed us with all spiritual blessings. In 1 Peter 1, 3, Peter praised God for future blessings and a living hope. But here Paul praised God for His present blessings, if you will. There's nothing wrong with thanking Him for what He's done in the past, thanking Him for what He's doing now in our lives, even in the midst of our nation that has left the revelation of God's Word and has left God and as a godless pagan, led by godless pagans. We can still praise God because He's still doing a work, because guess what? Jesus is coming soon. Amen? We're getting closer and closer to the rapture, which I'm going to speak on next Sunday morning, and praise Him for what He's going to do. We don't do that enough. You know, we need to pray more like, God, come for your children. God, take us home. God, make us like you. Take us our home in heaven. Blessings, Lord. We want to live for you forever. Praise that you'll put Israel in the land and you'll defeat all the enemies. They'll be at your footstool, right? There's nothing wrong with praising God for what He's going to do, right? He inhabits the praises of His people. But we praise Him because He is God. Secondly, in verse 3, we praise Him because of His Son. Notice that in the latter part of verse 3. He says, even the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. I and the Father are one, right? The Trinity. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All three God. God in three persons, yet all three God. Three different manifestations of one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So he says it's only through Jesus that we can call him Father, right? The world today thinks they know God, but if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God, right? There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus, right? That's what Jesus said in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the emphatic article. I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? No man comes to the Father except through me. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't go to heaven because you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, Pentecostal. You go to heaven because of who you know. And that's in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We come into his presence as his children. Call him Father. I know that last 4 weeks and 3 weeks, what failed. Now, if we didn't have a Heavenly Father, I don't know what we would have done, right? I couldn't call Biden. Amen? I couldn't call these other ones, right? But we have a Heavenly Father we can call on, right? Who loves us. God sees his son, sees us in his son, and loves us as he loves his own son. You see, when we believe, God looks at us and he sees our faith in his son, right? He sees us in his son, the beloved. We're accepted and beloved. And when he looks at us, he doesn't see us for what we truly are. He sees us for somebody he died for, right? And he sees that. And his goal is to make us into the image of his son here. So praise him because of his son, but thirdly, we praise him because of his mercies, the middle third part of verse 3. He says here, the Father of mercies, the God of the Father of mercies. We could say the word originator there. God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve, and in his mercy, he does not give us what we do deserve. I fall out with people all the time that say, I deserve better than this. Well, I say, okay, well, you need to be in hell. That's what you deserve, right? Right? That's what all of us deserved. Outside of God sending in his son for us, I'm glad that God didn't give me what I deserve. But by his grace, he gave me what I did not deserve. It is of God's mercies that we are not consumed. You know that? God just could have spoke the word and we would have been gone, you know? We would have been consumed. Lamentations 3:22. And then we praise him because of his comfort. Latter part of verse 3. The God of all comfort. You've heard me say this often. Lost people, when they lose a relative, when they have a hardship, you know, who are they going to call? It ain't going to be Ghostbusters, right? Who are they going to call on, right? You see, we have someone we can call on. We have a father. But what is their source of comfort? Just comfort and comfort? No, you got to have something that your comfort come from. The God of all comfort, right? And so we call on God here. We see that word comfort there, consolation, if you will, repeated 10 times in this text in chapter 1. God puts strength in our hearts so we can face our trials and triumph over them. You see, you're not going to grow in your faith unless you suffer. Can I say that again? You are not going to grow in your faith unless your faith is stretched. And the only way your faith is stretched is by suffering, right? Yes, we grow by obeying his word and things like that. But folks, this is how we grow. And this is what people fight. I made a joke. I went back down to the college Thursday. We hadn't met for 3 weeks, but they're all well and everything. And I went back down there. I got one more class, and that's the final test I'm going to give them next Thursday. I made a joke with them because they had 30 people in that Gospel Light Baptist Church that had the virus. One man died. One 90-year-old lady they put in the hospital. They didn't do a blasted thing for her. She just lay there and died because she was 90 years old. And another man they had was going to take his first vaccine. And I guess, I don't know. I've never taken. And I don't know if they ask you medical questions. Do they ask you medical questions? He had a bad case of COPD. He was dead that afternoon when he took the vaccine. And anyway, what I was going to say, I was joking with him. I said, I feel sorry for you in here that haven't had the virus. I'm being facetious now. Y'all know that, right? I feel sorry for you that haven't had the vaccine. Because I've had the virus, and I got more antibodies in my system right now than you got in that little vaccine. Hello? Y'all didn't know that, did you? Right? I had to get the virus to do it, but I got it, right? Folks, listen, everything that comes in our life, God sends our way for a purpose. The Greek word means to come alongside, to help, comfort. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is the Holy Comfort that God promised to send after Christ ascended, right? He's our comforter. But also, God encourages us. He encourages us through the Scriptures, through His Spirit, and sometimes through the saints, right? Although saints will get you more discouraged than you needed to be, right? You know, you don't go up to somebody and say, they do it all the time, you know. Somebody be in the hospital and they'll go visit with them and they'll say, my aunt was in the same room you're in, she died, you know. That's not encouraging, right? Right? I'll say, come get me and get me out of this room, move me down the hall, and don't move me to the end of the fourth wing because that's where they put you to die, right? So we praise him because of his comfort. It's easy in our trials to look at ourselves and focus on our problems, right? Our problems become bigger than our God. We must first look to God and realize that he is the God of comfort, right? So we praise him because he is God. We praise him because of his Son. We praise him because of his mercy. And we praise him because of his comfort. So not only do we remember who God is, but secondly, if you'll see on the screen, we remember what God does for you. Look in verse 4, if you will. Who comforted us all in our tribulation. You see that? Who comforts all of us in our tribulation. It's an interesting word there, tribulation. It means to be in a tight place, a narrow place, to have pressure on us, right? And we all know when we're tribulating, right? We all know when we've been through tribulation, right? But he permits trials in our life and comforts us in the trial so that our sufferings will be to our benefit and to his glory. There are some sufferings we endure because we're in this human fallen flesh in the world, right? We live in an unredeemed world. We live in an unredeemed flesh, and our flesh suffers. And we live in a fallen world. But, you know, that's what's happening in our world. It's called sin. And the answer is Jesus. And there are sufferings that come our way because we are God's people living righteously and walking in truth. You know that? And I'm telling you, church, and I'm telling you, and I'll preach it to the day I fall dead. You need to be prepared, and you need to be prepared to stand up for righteousness because they're coming after the church. Okay? And we need to be willing to stand. Trouble is no accident in a believer's life. Everything is by divine appointment and allowed by God to make us better, not bitter, but to make us better and to make us like Christ. And a lot of times we put the trials on our own. We make choices. I've been talking on Abraham in Sunday school while Robert's out. Abraham made some wrong decisions and he suffered because of it, right? And we make wrong decisions and we suffer. Don't blame it on God. You just made a wrong decision. You made a wrong choice. And all of us, some of us, not most, well, not hopefully some of us, we have children that break our heart. Some of us do here, right? And it affects the whole family, and it affects even into the church. Don't ever think anybody's sin will not affect anybody else. It does. And we all have that cross to bear there. Our trials are not fate. They're not chance. We understand that God is in control, and we can trust the God of our circumstances. I want to skip on down to point 3 because of time. How can we get comfort? Number one, remember who God is. Number two, remember what God does for you. How many of you here have ever been through a hard time? Let me finish. Okay, you don't know what I'm going to say, right? You might be just volunteering for something. But how many of you have been through a trial and a tribulation? And I done forgot what I was going to say now. Y'all messed me up, right? How many of you ever been through it? And what does a preacher do when he forgets? He goes on. Number 3, remember what God does for you. And then thirdly, remember what God does through you. I know, only stop right there. Just remember what I was going to say. How many of you have ever been through a tribulation and you experienced the comfort of God and the presence of God? Just raise your hand. You say, how did I forget that? But I did. It's some okra. It's that okra and the fried oysters that I ate, right? And you can look back. You didn't look at it maybe until you went through the trial. And you can look back through the trial and see how God guided your steps every way, right? And protected you, right? Right? Thirdly, how do we have comfort? Remember who God is. Remember what God does for you. You know, whatever you're going through, folks, we need to remember what God has done for us in the past, right? And then thirdly, remember what God does through you. That's the key. Look in verse 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulation. Notice that word, that. It's important. It's fixing to tell us why God comforted us in our tribulation. Look what it says. That you may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith you ourselves were comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effectual in enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation. Verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the sufferings, so ye shall also be of the consolation. Now let's break that down. One reason for trials is that we might be a channel of blessing to comfort and bless other people who are going through the same trial. You know, y'all understand my heart. Democrats like to use the phrase, don't waste the tragedy. And they definitely don't. They take advantage of every tragedy to gain more power, right? But we as Christians need to apply that to our same lives. Don't ever waste a tragedy, right? Don't be a cistern. Be a channel of blessing that you may bless other people. Do you know that God allows you to go through certain things because he knows there's somebody else that's going to need ministering to, right? Amen. Pick up the phone, write them a letter, call them, you know? Being I'm off Facebook now, I can't Facebook them, but there's somebody else that's going through what you're doing, right? And don't stay bottled up in your own little sad world. Reach out to other people who are going through the same thing you are. I can name everybody in here and what trial you've been through since I've been your pastor in 19 years. You know it? I can name it, and I can name how there are people here and people that you know that need comforting as they go through these things, right? Human suffering is not easy to understand. Sometimes we suffer because of our own sin, the sin of others. There are storms of perfection. There are storms of correction. You know, but we can suffer storms of perfection that are designed to make us like Christ and usable by God, right? How sad it is. In fact, I don't know if I know anybody that's ever lived in this life and never suffered. I know a lot of people don't want to suffer, right? But how sad it is if someone has never suffered because they are not growing and they can't be used to help other people, right? But another reason for our trials is that we might help others. What do we think our purpose of a trial is, Lord, heal me now, right, quick. I want to get out of this, you know. But let patience have its perfect work, James says, that you may be mature, right? And that you may grow. You say, Pastor, all that is foreign, man. You're not with us this morning. You're not in the same world we are. I'm human. I bleed just like you do, right? In fact, I may bleed more, right? I go through the same things you go through. But I know that this is supernatural. This is spiritual. This is not physical. You can't do it in the flesh. It has to be through a life surrendered to God and obedience to him. God has to work in us before he can work through us. You know, don't pray, God, use me, because he's fixing to prepare you in a certain way so he can use you, right? God prepares us. Someone said God prepares us for what he is preparing for us. I always hate to preach on certain things because I know I might go through that next week. And I'm going to have to live what I preach to you, right? And that's the sad thing. And I went through things, and I said, Lord, I preached on that to the people, but I didn't think I was going to go through it, right? Look in verse 5 again. He says this, verse 5. He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. We must suffer in the will of God. We share in the sufferings of Christ. Paul called it the fellowship of his sufferings in Philippians 3:10. When's the last time you heard a Christian pray, God, I pray that I'll fellowship in your sufferings and I'll suffer for Christ? The trials we suffer because we faithfully do God's will. As sufferings increase, so does God's grace increase. You know, grace is not something you store up so that you need it one day. Grace is something God gives you when you need it, right? So as suffering increases, so does God's grace. God has ample grace for every need and every believer. One of my favorite passages, we're getting close to closing, is Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, the temptation of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. Remember those three in the garden? It was all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In time of need. Grace is unusual because it's not something you walk around in your back pocket with. It's something God gives you when you need it and when you call on Him. Let me close with this. It's important that we focus on God and not our problem. Number two, remember who God is, remember what God does for you, and remember what God does through you. And let Him use you to comfort others. Don't let your trial, your tribulation, be wasted, right? And if we just stay in our own little world, self-pity world, woe is me, there's not a soul on earth going through what I'm going through, and we waste our suffering. When I go through a hard time, when I have a bad Sunday, I get right back out there on Monday and try to minister to somebody, right? You just pour your life out, right? And if you're in the pastorate, there's been a lot of Mondays where the pastor wanted to resign on Monday. Sometimes on Sunday night, didn't want to wait till Monday, right? But I'm telling you, folks, don't let your suffering be wasted. Don't let it be wasted. Father, we thank you for your word today. The altar is open this morning in a few moments as our musicians come. Miss Wanda's going to just play today, and I'm going to stand down front. He's the God of all comfort. Don't be like the church I saw going down the road the other day. Have you tried everything else? Now try Jesus. He's the first one we should try. He's the God of all comfort. He wants to do a work in you so that He can do a work through you. Father, there may be here one today without Christ. They never heard the gospel that they are sinners. Born that way. Coming into this world lost. On their way to hell without Christ. But you loved us enough to send your only begotten Son to die in our place on that cross. To take our sin so that we might have His life and His righteousness. And give us the gift of eternal life. Father, today they've never heard that. Maybe today they've heard the gospel for the first time, the good news that Jesus saves us from our sins. The world is full of sin. Lord, but we can't save everybody. But we can work at saving people out of the world and bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's one here this morning that has not been delivered from sin. I pray today will be the day, Father, that they turn to you. I pray for others, Lord, to come to this altar, the God of all comfort. You have needs. You have people you need to pray for. You say, Pastor, I can do it where I'm sitting. But my question is, why do you want to sit? Come to the altar. Give it to God and leave it there. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.